morning, everybody. This is WTBR's Morning Drive. I'm really honored and privileged to have with me today someone I have known for a long time and have utmost respect for. He is the sheriff of Berkshire County. His name is Thomas Bowler. He's doing a great job. And I will tell you, for a very long time, I will tell you, I haven't seen teamwork throughout the county like I have today in the law enforcement criminal justice field. DA, sheriffs, chiefs of police, state police, everybody collaborating as a team. And brother, I want to tell you, they're making some real headway, getting guns off the street, drugs off the street, and really violent people off the street. And I know that may not win the hearts and minds of some people, but I got to tell you, until you're a victim, and Tom and I were both on the police department here in Pittsfield, saw a lot of victims, and I'll leave it at that. So without further ado, foie gras, soup du jour, my sheriff of Berkshire County, Thomas Bowler. How are you, Sheriff?
I'm doing great, Bill. How about yourself?
Well, for an old fat bald guy, I'm still here. So, you know, I consider that I consider every day a blessing, brother. Trust me.
Yeah.
Do you agree with what I just said? I mean, I've never seen it like this, teamwork.
Yeah, it's been, I often say this all the time that, you know, when I was up in the Detective Bureau doing the major crimes, you know, we found ourselves with, there was a lot of the major investigations that we were involved in. You had to utilize whatever resources you could get your hands on.
Yeah.
And so that entails a collaborative effort with a number of resources and or agencies. And we found it to be very successful. And when I came here 14 years ago, in 2011, January 2011, I ran the campaign in 2010 on collaboration. And we've done just that. And, you know, it was interesting because, you know, the coming in with my law enforcement background, there were agencies that were hesitant to support me because they thought that I was going to, I'll give you, for instance, the state police union at the time, SPAM, wouldn't endorse me. Wow. And so I talked to the guy from SPAM at the time, the president of their union, and they were afraid that with my law enforcement background that I was going to take over roving patrols and have a county law enforcement. And it was interesting because at the time, I had a budget of about just under $15 million.
Right.
And I don't know if you recall, but I came in office in order to meet that budget that following fiscal year by June of 2011, the end of June, I had to lay off 13 people.
Yeah.
Which wasn't very pleasant. And I hated to do it because those were supporters of mine.
Sure.
But we have never run this agency in the red, our budget in the red, prior to my arrival and since I've been here. Although this year, there's a good chance we may. We have not been reimbursed yet by the state for the free phone calls that the inmates get and the medications-assisted treatment that the state took over. But that should be by October, that should be squared away. So, you know, we're plugging along and we're making do with what we have. And, it's been, challenging each year. We come up with new challenges and fight those battles, but, you know, we're working hard at it. I have a great team, great staff, and, things are going well, but, you know, none of us can do this public safety challenge alone. That's why we have to collaborate. And I find it interesting because I'll give you it for an example. When vice president was here last year during the campaign. They had their the benefit there, Kamala Harris at the
Podium.
Colonial Theater. And Secret Service was there. And he came up to me, we were talking, and he said, wow, he says, I find it very unique how well county, the sheriffs, local law enforcement, and the state police are all working together. And
Yeah.
I said, well, I said, look at the dynamics of Massachusetts. I said, we're the furthest county from the state house. And I said, if we rely on resources from across the state, it takes hours before they can actually respond. It's increased. I mean, the response
Yeah.
time increased over the years, but I said we have to work together in order to have exigent response time. We have to respond in a matter of minutes, and so we have to work together. And
Yeah.
he's God. He says it's very unique around the country. He says I know law enforcement agencies that won't even talk to one another, and they work in the same county or the same state.
Yeah.
And I said, well, we can't do that here because, you know, public safety is we're, as an elected official and put in there to
Yeah.
protect and serve the public. So we have to do you set your egos aside, and you just do the job that you've been put in office for. So, you know, it's and it makes everyone's job easier, and you know you have another agency or another resource to rely on. So,
And you were on sports teams.
yes.
You were on the PPD. Everybody knows if you've got a good team, everybody's load is lighter.
Yes.
And I too often I think in the past, and you nailed it, and I applaud you for this, Sheriff. People's egos got in the way of their responsibilities and their accountability.
Yep.
I don't want them damn state police in this city. We don't need the state police. Why?
Yeah. Of
Why?
course we do.
Yeah, we can't handle everything. I mean, and you know, I guess I applaud you and the DA the chiefs, especially Chief Dolly. I think the world of that guy, because you're cohesive.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And the DA like wants to work with the police. I we'll just leave it at that.
Yeah. Well, it's interesting too because you have a DA now that used to be a defense attorney.
Yeah.
Started out his career as a prosecutor,
Yeah.
got the kids' place, was very
Yeah.
involved with the with victims, got the kids' place up and
Yeah.
running.
Money out of his own pocket initially.
And then went to the defense attorney side of the bar, and but we've been friends for so many years and full of respect for one another.
Yeah.
So it's very easy that when you become on the same team that and look at a friend of mine, I don't know if you know this guy by the name of Tim Drain. You
Yeah.
know, Timmy Drain does a lot in recovery for people.
Yeah.
So Timmy told me, he says, you know what team stands for? And I says, what's that? He says, together everyone achieves more. And
Perfect.
it's true.
Yeah.
When you have a good solid team and you work together and you collaborate, then everyone is going to achieve and have success. So look at, are we successful on every
No.
investigation or every component of of these challenges? No, we're not. But we accept them together, we fight them together, and whether we win or lose, we do it together. So, you know, it's been we have a great working relationship with all local municipalities and public safety, fire, police, EMS across the county. We never, you know, when I came on, I told all the police chiefs 14 years ago, I said, look at I'm not here to take any one of your jobs away, but utilize me as a resource because I'll help out as much as I can,
Yeah.
and I'm going to do the same. And that's exactly what we've done. We've done it with the state police, even federal agencies. Cripes, I have a guy that works with the 3 days a week with the DEA out of Springfield for obvious reasons,
Yeah.
coming in from other parts of the country and other parts of the state.
Yeah.
So we have an officer that works with the DEA task force. I have another officer with organized crime that's working with the FBI on their task force. He's assigned full time to their office in Springfield, combating organized crime and drug activity and gang activity from Springfield to Pittsfield, because there's a huge connection between Springfield and the Hampden County area and Berkshire County. So they've been very successful. Our drug unit, I have two guys, two and a half. I say two and a half because we have a guy there part-time helping out as well, a third guy. And it's with the DA's task force, the drug unit, the DA's. And we work hand in hand with the state police detectives and detective unit and the drug unit. And we just had a recent invest a major
Major, yeah.
pops, major pop, so to speak, with some guns off the street, a large amount of drugs and cash, and so we have ongoing investigations all the time, and you have to have this collaboration, and we've had it, so it's working well.
But you know, and I know in years past, it didn't exist. It's a team that's there now. You're part of that team. The DA as part of that team, and you, I mean, I want the people of Berkshire County to know that you got a group of people now in law enforcement that they're at the plate every day and they're swinging the bat. And the sheriff said sometimes they get a home run or a base hit, and sometimes they strike out, but at least they're swinging the bat. You
And
know.
credit due to when I was up in the detective bureau, and we had a great collaboration between when Jerry Downing was the DA,
Great guy.
David Capeless and Paul Cacciavillo. So we instilled and we had that collaborative effort between Pittsfield PD, the state police, and actually under the Sheriff Mastriano, they had he had guys in that task force as well. We lost it for about 4 years after Paul Cacciavillo, and then when Tim came in, we regrouped, brought it back together, and we're knocking it out. And we're I like to say we're knocking it out of the park, so to speak. And it's time consuming. It gets costly. These investigations are costly, so we're constantly looking for our state leaders to our legislative leaders to help us out. So, it's not going away. And if you don't deal with this the challenge, then it's going to only enhance and become worse.
It'll flourish, and that's what started to happen here. So I think when things changed and a new DA came in, there was a lot of catching up to do. And we're by that now. You're hitting, in my opinion, and I've been all over the world. We have part of probably one of the finest law enforcement from top to bottom. From the patrol officer getting in that marked car driving around to the detective bureau to I just want the people of Berkshire County to know your taxes, and I can say this because I believe it, your taxes are not being wasted, because these folks are out there, as I said, they get up to the plate and they swing the bat. They don't stand there. And that, you know, Tom, too, oh, sure. Sorry about that. There's nothing left up there, believe me. You talk about oatmeal. But the other thing too, you got a big event coming up here, buddy. Your
September,
sheriff's picnic.
The Sheriff's Picnic, September 6th at Camp Russell. It's open to the public. It's
Can I come?
yes, you can.
Oh, okay.
Yep, you can. It's $20 per person, kids under 12 are free,
Oh.
and we have our
Sorry about that.
smokers, we have our jokers with smokers.
Yeah.
But we're gonna have, ribs and wings and burgers, cheeseburgers, hot dogs, sausage, the whole nine yards. So it's always a good time at Camp Russell. It goes from noontime on Saturday, September 6th, until 4 p.m.
Yeah.
We're
And
just
it is always a good time. And I love going to Camp Russell because it brings back my youth. I was there. I was there as a camper. I was there as a counselor. I was there with the former sheriff on the kitchen crew. But please support this endeavor of the sheriff. I hope to see you there. I really do because sometimes it's nice they're out there, whether the police, EMS, fire, first responders, chief, sheriff, deputies. And sometimes it's nice to see the public support them because every day they go out there, and he can tell you, I mean, when my old partner, I learned so much and loved him like a brother, Detective Sergeant Dick Kennall. Sometimes the job gets really weary. It wearies you. And sometimes you just need somebody to say, hey, be careful. Thanks for what. And this is one way to do it through the sheriff's picnic. You know?
It's interesting when you mention Dick Heenall. And generations are passing on. I there's many guys that were
Oh, yeah.
officers during your era, and then during mine, that are being passed on through generations. Dick Heenall, his son is with me, working for me.
I know.
His grandson is working with the Pittsfield Police Department.
Yeah.
I have my son and son-in-law on the Pittsfield PD. There's so many guys who have gone through the ranks and files of law enforcement that's been passed on to generations. So it's it's nice, it's good, and it's good to know that your community that you live in is in good hands.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you, just to go back to the drug unit guy, I've had a Superior Court judge tell me that the quality of work or information that is being brought to the courts in the form of affidavits
Yeah.
is absolutely outstanding. So when a
Yeah.
Superior Court was when a Superior Court ch tells you that the officers in the streets that are doing the work, and they obviously, in order to get search warrants, they have to present affidavits, and in order to get the search warrants, and a particular Superior Court judge told me that work, those investigations are absolutely superb and
That's great.
detailed, precise, intelligent, articulate, and they're really doing fantastic work.
That's great. And going back just a hair, Dick Hennell, I don't, at one point he had written over 60 affidavits for search through his career. Never had one rejected, and I don't think he ever lost a case. But I mean, he was. I won't get into the real specifics, and there was a situation, and there were others there, of other agencies, and Dick said, if you want to write the affidavit, you go ahead and write it, but I don't think we got enough, and I'm certainly not going to stretch the truth. And I think the integrity today of our departments collectively is unquestionable.
Well, and you it's all you have nowadays. I mean, the eyes, the public view, or the public eyes on law enforcement over the last 10 years has been so intense.
Oh,
So
and
you
unfair.
have, yes, and unfair at times, very much unfair. And so you have to make sure that you articulate exactly what you're looking for,
Yeah.
and that your information is credible and reliable, and it's justified. So yeah, they're doing a really good job. But other than that, we have a ton of things going on. We have obviously our aquaponics program that's flourishing and
That's
still.
an amazing program. Just give a 30,000 quick overview of that for people that never have heard of it.
Sure. We probably been inception. Well, just before we were ready to open up during COVID, but we
Yeah.
had to wait till COVID was over, and we had an open house. It's a greenhouse. We can grow 4,800 heads of lettuce at a time.
Amazing.
And it's produced. It's lettuce that's grown in water. It's fertilized by tilapia fish, so we're raising fish, and the fish so-called waste or poop goes through a fertilization system, and it's where all the good nitrates are separated from the bad and nutrients and pumped into the grow beds. The water, about 18 inches of water that these styrofoam pods sit on with the lettuce in them. And the roots grow in the water, and it takes about 40 to 45 days for a complete head of lettuce, 365 days a year. And we just sent off to the state a letter requesting that this program, which is how do I want to say it? The inmates are the ones who are working out in the greenhouse producing this lettuce and learning how to do this hydroponic program. We just sent a letter to the state asking them to certify this as an actual state certified inmate program. So,
Outstanding.
and I can honestly say that the only cost coming into this program, we started this program with private funding. No tax dollars were used. We went out and raised over $600,000 to start this program. And then we were able to get the state through the governor and lieutenant governor at the time, which was Baker and Polito. They came down, and our legislative body helped us secure some sustainability and funding for this program each year. So we have a line item in our budget for the program.
Oh, cool.
And so we don't have to rely on the private funding anymore. And then the tilapia fish, we sell to a vendor who comes over from New York, and he buys anywhere from 400 to 600 pounds of fish from us when the fish mature. And he takes it and he purges the fish, and then he sells them to restaurants over there. So, but we start with the fish when they're little small fry or fingerlings, they call them. And then as they mature, they're the ones who fertilize the water to grow the lettuce. And since our inception, we have 30 towns and two cities in Berkshire County, and every town and city have been a recipient of our harvest. And we still have about seven agencies that we donate weekly to the food, the lettuce to these. And plus, we have a bunch of outside grow beds where we're growing peppers, onions, tomatoes, squash, zucchini squash, summer squash. Beans, potatoes. We have
Remember in
three
the old
beehives.
days? At the
Yeah.
old, I didn't mean to step on you, in the
I
old
was on
days.
Second Street. They did the
On
same thing on
Second
Second
Street,
Street.
when I was down in Texas, Texas Department of Corrections is their chief of security. But the inmates, there was a kerfuffle there with a federal judge who said that you had to pay him, and otherwise it was like, well, for a while the inmates couldn't go out. They
Yeah.
were really angry.
Oh yeah. Oh
File
yeah.
that lawsuit.
Yeah.
Because we would turn out thousands every day because we had thousands,
Yeah.
but we had chicken farm, we had our own butcher, we had it. This and people may not remember. I'm an old guy, he's not, but he remembers some of it. Well, he's got gray hair, but
Yeah.
at least he's got hair. The inmates at the Berkshire County House of Correction and Jail, the old one at Second Street, had a huge farm.
Huge garden,
Huge. And they wanted to go out and
right?
work.
It was funny because it was right in the center of the city,
Yeah.
on Second Street.
Yeah.
The food that they harvested and produced was the sustainability of the jail.
Yeah, absolutely.
It cuts down on your cost, your food costs.
Yeah.
So that's why we start up this program is for sustainability. 200 to 250 heads a week come into this jail. So the inmates who are out there growing this stuff can reap the benefits of
Yeah.
what they're doing. And then it gives them also a good feeling, the fact that they know that they're helping with the sustainability, the food sustainability
Excellent.
in Berkshire County. So
And I'll go back and here's the difference. And like I said, I had a good career. I've been all over the world. But here's the difference with Massachusetts.
yeah.
And it's your first incarceration is always at in Pittsfield, the Berkshire County House of Correction and jail. And through the years, going back to his name escapes me right now, he was a World War II guy. A lot of the guys had drinking problems, PTSD, but they didn't even know what it was. They called it shell shock and all. He started programming. He
Courtney.
started programming. And it's continued on. And I know, and Tom, you probably have heard this story. Our former sheriff, Carmen Massimiano, went down and got some grief in Boston one time from some others about who didn't have the programming. He did not hesitate telling them about his programs and how, I mean, they have, and Tom, the sheriff, can go into this. But what I want to stress with people, because I got crosswise one time with a former person in another high position who didn't believe that addicts should go to jail and be detoxified. Okay. Tell them about the wonderful program you have, Sheriff, please.
Well, the interesting thing is, we don't want to take and turn the jail and house of correction into a detoxification unit, but technically that's what we are. When you have people who have addictions, and along with those addictions are committing crimes
Right.
because of the addiction, we understand you're committing crimes to help. To survive with the addiction. But if you take, we're a house of correction, so our job is to correct behavior. So if you have an addiction but you're committing crimes, well, be held accountable for your crime, okay? But let us treat your addiction and your problem
Exactly.
and change that. And that's exactly what we're doing. And so to me, with the fact that now we have the medications-assisted treatment programs going on, we have healthcare, we have mental health care, we have everything within at your fingertips, 24/7, 365 days a year. This is where you can thrive. You have to, when you have an opiate or some type of addiction, it's not an easy short-term fix. It's a
No.
long-term fix. And if you break up that cycle of them committing crimes and having a substance use disorder, if you break that cycle up for 6 months to a year, sometimes 18 months, a year and a half, sometimes even up to 2.5 years, which is the maximum on
Right.
certain on criminal charges that you can do here at the jail, you're breaking that cycle that you've been in with the negative influence, and you're giving yourself a chance to thrive and become successful again. A number of our individuals that are here incarcerated are not bad people. They've
No.
just made bad choices. And so our job is to create a stronger, healthier, and safer community. And the more people we can turn around that come through our doors, well, they're helping us create that stronger, healthier, and safer community.
We're going to
We
take
have
a
to get
1 minute
involved.
break when the sheriff comes back, because this is very, to me, this is very important that people understand the overall umbrella of corrections. It has the right name. Yes, there's discipline and there's routine and there's all this, and they do it very well. But the what, and they've been doing it at this House of Correction for a long time. Great programming. I know people that were in one time and got straight and got out. We'll be right back. This is WBR, WTBR. There we go. Talk about oatmeal. WTBR 89.7 FM on your radio dial. We're also simulcasting on PCTV channel 1301, and we now reach down into Southern Berkshire.
Oh,
So
good.
please stay tuned. We'll be right back with Sheriff Bowler. See you in a minute.
Stay tuned for more Morning Drive here on WTBR FM.
Hey, it's Sean from WTBR FM. Whether you just found this station for the first time or you've been listening for years, you might not know everything about WTBR FM. Want to find out more? It's easy. Just go to WTBRFM.com. You can find full programming schedules, listen to the station anywhere in the world, subscribe to our podcasts, and even learn to create a program of your own. And of course, donate to the station. That's WTBRFM.com. Check it out today.
Greetings, this is John Pollock, host of The Jazz Train, which comes your way every Saturday night from 10 to 11:30. The Jazz Train generally features music recorded on a particular calendar date in years past and provides relevant commentary and discographical details. So why not join me for a ride on The Jazz Train for a weekly musical adventure, coming to you on 89.7 WTBR-FM, Pittsfield Community Radio.
You have chosen wisely.
WTBR. And now back to the Morning Drive on WTBR-FM, Pittsfield Community Radio.
All right, we're back. The good-looking guy isn't me. It's Sheriff Thomas Bowler. You would think his hair is white. It's not. It's blonde. So the sheriff, I will say this. I said it at the beginning of the show. What they do at the Berkshire County House of Correction and Jail is amazing. They live up to their name. You know, like Berkshire Community College lives up to its middle name, community, when you go there. Berkshire County House of Correction lives up to its name and jail. Yeah. You want to be a tough guy or you want to be a hard nose, they got the jail piece. You want to shake your addiction, you want to get better, you want to get an education, they got there too.
Yeah.
And our old sheriff, Carmen Massimiano, who is chairman of the school board, used to have a saying, and Sheriff, it resonates to me when I do these. Pay me now or pay me later.
Yeah.
But you're going to pay me if
yeah.
we don't work with these kids.
Yeah.
And the other reason I'm having the sheriff on today is he's got a big picnic coming up and he's going to tell you about it. And I would ask, I don't ask very much of my listeners and viewers, but I would ask that you drive out there and you get to see the wonderful people that support the sheriff and show your support.
Yep.
Because it's not, these aren't easy jobs today. I was just talking with somebody who's real close to retirement and saying, you know, the first, say 20 years of my job, it was wonderful. But he said, these last 10 have been tough.
Yeah. It is.
So your picnic is out of Camp Russell, which is what a venue.
Oh, it's gorgeous, gorgeous view. It's September 6th, Saturday, September 6th. Not this Saturday, but the following Saturday. It goes from noontime until 4. We have our Jokers with Smokers, which means that we will be smoking barbecued ribs and wings, which are phenomenal. We'll have hamburgers, hot dogs, sausages, peppers and onions, baked beans, coleslaw, potato salad, corn. The whole nine yards, and music will be playing, and it's just a great time for people to come out and look at a lot of. We always have it just before the election cycle, so that people who are involved in elections can come and meet and greet people, introduce themselves, lay out their platforms to people. So it's always a good time. We have legislators come in, and those city council and town management positions they come out and they get to meet and greet people. So it's a great time. $20 per person, and kids under 12 for free. So come on out, and we have golf carts that bring everybody out. You can swim from 1 to 3 there at the pool. We have lifeguards available.
Wow.
And yeah, so it's just a good time.
Yeah,
So
it's a family event.
yeah, it is. It's a family
I
event.
want to stress that it is a family event. And you know, patriotism and respect for law enforcement and firefighters and all, that's a learned trait. And unfortunately, it is not being taught in a lot of places. So I encourage parents and I encourage grandparents, of which I am, to take, excuse me, to take their kiddos with them, and have a good time, and let them see Camp Russell, so that when they get a little, some of them get a little older, they can go out to Camp Russell.
Exactly.
And
So, let's see, what are the other things? So we have Second Street. Obviously, we still utilize the
yeah.
old Second Street jail, and that is our Second Street Second Chance program. It's the aftercare, so that when inmates leave this facility, we have a continuation of services for them.
Yeah,
And
which has always been a big bump.
we have four or five navigators that help the individuals navigate through their everyday challenges in the community, making sure that they're getting to their AA meetings, their NA meetings, their doctor's appointments, their mental health screenings and appointments, educational opportunities. When you speak about educational opportunities, we have a collaboration with Berkshire Community College.
Yes, you do.
2 weeks ago, a week ago, this past Monday, every year we do a play with the theater group from Berkshire Community College. And the actors talk to our clients at Second Street, and they portray their lives, their challenges, and their experiences through a play. And it's been well received,
Oh, I'll
and
bet.
yeah, well done. So we just had one 2 weeks ago. That was very nice. We have at not only educational opportunities, we have employment and housing opportunities. So the whole purpose is, a lot of people don't fear coming to jail or the House of Correction, but once they're here, they fear their release. They're afraid of what's going to happen because they've done so well here. That same negative influence that got them in trouble in the first place is waiting for them when they walk out these doors. Okay? And the smallest little challenge can set them back into a relapse. So what we try to do is with our navigators, we assist them and navigate them through those challenges once they're out to help them be successful. We want them to be successful. We want them to succeed. We want them to be, they're members of our community, and we want them to help be part of our community and be successful in our community. So aftercare Second Street is great. We are meeting with in a very short time, which was also we created a 501c3 with the assistance of Mark Gold, and we have a board of directors tied in with the Second Street Second Chance program. And but we're looking for to the state to help us sustain this aftercare program. So we can keep it going, up and running. But we're very, very busy. Clients are doing very, very well. Since its inception, I know we've dealt with over 1,000 non-duplicated individuals. So these are 1,000 individuals that were in need of assistance. So
Oh,
anybody who,
yeah.
anybody who's been formerly incarcerated, and it doesn't matter where in the country, can come and get services here at Second Street Second Chance Program.
You know, that being in a business a long time, seeing that's been the big bump.
Yes.
It's got to be 15 years ago. Well, Billy Clinton was president, however long that was. He had a seminar, and I was asked to speak down at Foxwood. And, of course, had to bring the bride. Foxwood. Anyhow, yeah. And it was about reentry.
Yep.
And it was from adult reentry to juveniles who've been incarcerated now have to come back. And the sheriff just nailed it. They were more afraid of getting out than going in.
Yes.
And because they then, many of them realized, I got to go back and face the same people that I was a jerk to in school or whatever. Yep. And it was, and so what you're doing, I guess what I'm trying to say in roundabout, thank you for what you're doing, because it's been a big bump and a big leap for a lot of people. Yes. Without assistance, we're asking, okay, you've done your time, goodbye.
Yep.
You know, and aside, when I was running the Violent Youthful Offender Program, we got into kind of the mustard, or some of my people and me got in the mustard, because we would bring them to where they were eligible for parole.
Yeah.
And would get it, but no longer, we could no longer communicate with them.
Right, right.
Well, we were the people who brought them to where they're at.
Yes, yeah.
So this is a brilliant, somebody should write about this, Tom.
They have to, what people need to understand is, like I mentioned, and I'll reiterate again, is when people come out of jail, that negative influence is still there.
Yeah.
It's slapping them in the face. And just by missing one AA meeting or NA meeting, or not being able to show up to an employment opportunity or to a housing opportunity, we have legal aid that's there to help them through some of their probate issues. So our job was to, it's very difficult to get these individuals to say, okay, here's your appointment, get on a bus and go here somewhere in Berkshire County. Yeah. Instead, we take them.
Yeah.
We take them. We get them there. We make sure they make it there. So there is no... there's no excuses or any issues with that. We want these people to survive, to thrive, and to be successful, and because they are members of our community. Yeah. And as I mentioned before, a lot of these people are not bad people. They've just made some bad and poor choices. So that's thriving. It's going well. We have a huge security project going on right now.
Oh, cool.
It started basically, as you know, we opened in 2001. Mm-hmm. This place was built in 2000 and started in 2000, and we opened up in February of 2001. So we're 24 years into this.
Yeah.
So we're actually 8-9 years ago, we started this security upgrade project.
Good.
And each year, and it's through DCAM, the Division of Capital Asset Management, because the state owns this building. So each year, it started out about 8 to 9 years ago at about $3.2 million.
Wow.
Okay.
Wow.
It is now $7.2 million.
Wow.
Because of inflation and the costs. So we started probably, it was awarded to us in November. The trailers showed up, contractors start showing up in, I think March.
How cool.
And we're doing upgrade with all our electronics, our security cameras. We're adding more security cameras.
Yeah.
Our front lobby is going to be more security minded. We have an open lobby, front lobby. And that's very, very dangerous for the officer sitting there, because we do not know if anyone comes into this facility, anyone from the public comes into the facility carrying any weapons until they go through a metal detector.
Right.
And so our front lobby is going to be redesigned. so it's more secure for the staff that's out there. Obviously, all our electronic doors, and which this place is full of, we've been having problems. I mean, we have particular doors that probably opens 700 times a day. So there's wear and tear on these things. So air conditioning, heating systems. We have local contractors in here, so the local agencies were able
Good.
to bid on this job. So we have Collins Electric, we have M&W Plumbing in here. We have the GC, the general contractor, is out of Rhode Island. So it's scheduled to go till January. I don't know if they're going to meet that timeline. It may go a little bit longer because there's so much that has to be done. But we're going to have more security cameras, and a complete upgrade on the facility. So it's good. It's real good.
And I, I will tell you, I agree. I'm so happy you're doing this because I think in the future, the potential for more difficult, detainees, inmates, offenders, whatever, because what we're seeing on the streets and everything like that. And we're not immune in Berkshire County. While it's bucolic and it's wonderful and it's going to be pretty in about another month, I found two very colorful leaves on my lawn this morning. So yeah, go back when I finish this. I'm going to go get the rake out of the shed because it. But seriously, what these men and women are doing on a daily basis is helping protect all of us, all of us. But that doesn't mean that there aren't bad people who are right now conniving, planning, and doing. So they have a huge duty, and I don't think that people fully understand. Yes, the Berkshires are beautiful, but the Berkshires have their dark side too.
Sure, we have our challenges, and we have to combat those challenges. And I think the biggest thing, we have a saying in corrections now. Recently, over the last 7 to 10 years, victims have become invisible, and the accused have become the victims.
Yes,
Well,
exactly.
we have to stop that. Okay, we have to stop that. And victims, all victims want to see are people who they've been victimized by held accountable for their actions. And excuse me. So we have to rely on public safety. We have to rely on our court systems, probation, parole, our judges, and our DAs to work together to create an environment where people who cause problems, violent problems, are held accountable and dealt with in a proper and efficient manner.
Yeah, and the people, I mean, unless you've been a victim or you've worked, like Tom and I have worked with victims, you don't understand the pain, the suffering, the fear. You break into somebody's house, the fear, that fear never goes away. And I agree. I hope we can refocus, when I ran the Violent Youthful Offender Program, I will tell you, sometimes when I read their files, I questioned where the heck were the social service, the schools, and things like that. Because what they were being abused by and the environments they lived in, no one should have lived in. And what happened? The outgrowth? A violent kid.
That was it.
I think, is what you're doing, and I hope this program helps educate the general public of the good they're doing and what you can do. If I hate, If you see something, say something.
Yep.
You know, and it sounds trite, but it's so true. If it doesn't seem right, let somebody that with experience go take a look at it.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, look at you had just the other day, last week, you had the motorcycle shop North Services down in Lenox that was vandalized and robbed and burglarized and robbed of you know, $37,000, almost $40,000 worth of merchandise, right? These individuals were from out of town. Great response to the alarm by Lenox PD. That officer witnessed the vehicle going by, knew he was going to that particular location, and sees a truck go by with motorcycles in the back, and he, you know, turns around and goes after, and they get a 100-mile-an-hour chase on a turnpike. And you know, these people are putting other people's lives at stake, and the business owner is a victim. I mean, these people have to be held accountable for their actions, and these are people that you don't want back out on the streets.
No.
Because if you're too lenient with these people, they go right back and do it again. They know it.
And it grows.
Yes.
If they get away with chocolate and a bag of potato chips, the next thing you know, they're taking a suit out of a store.
Yeah.
And that's well documented. It's hard to be in this business, his business. I'm just an old fat ball guy now with, you know, oatmeal for brain. But it's hard to be in their business because there's a whole group of people making excuses for behavior that's hurting other people.
So listen, when these people that do these, have this behavior or commit these atrocities, hold them accountable for what they've done and let us deal with the root of the problem.
And get them maybe the help they need. The sheriff said it so eloquently. The addiction is the criminal's problem. Yeah. That causes the criminality because they got to steal or do whatever. And he and I have seen, I've seen families where the kiddos got in the drugs and stole from the parents, and it breaks your heart.
You know, and what people need to understand is some of these crimes that are being committed, we understand there's a root, there's a problem, the root of the problem or cause behind it.
Right.
But they still have to be held accountable. And if that means going to state prison, then you have to go to state prison. Sure. Can you feel sorry for them? Yeah, you can feel sorry for them. But they have to be held accountable because there's someone else that was involved and they've been victimized. And they've been, their lives have been completely torn apart.
Complete.
Yep.
And I'll give you a quick example. Restorative justice.
Yeah.
We had it in the youthful offender program. So we had this kid and he came in and he sat with this lady and she was a beautiful lady, older.
Yep.
My age. But she said, he said, I'm sorry that I broke into your house and I vandalized it and I did this. But when I get out, she said, well, you know, you took from me the one thing that was my connection with the world, because I don't get out very much. And you stole my black and white television. And I can't afford to buy another television. So now I don't have that connection with the outside world. And I saw this kid who was kind of that wasn't why he was in there. He was in there for a lot worse.
Yeah.
But he filled up.
Yeah.
And he said, when I get out, I will buy you a new television. And I'm thinking, when you get out, she ain't going to be here. But but it worked.
Yeah.
Running. And the last thing she said to him, which left him really almost speechless, was, I don't sleep at night anymore.
Yeah. Yep.
There
Yeah.
you go.
Those that are committing these crimes do not understand or take into account
No.
the trauma that they put on other people.
Yep.
And so it, look at, I think restorative justice goes on a case by case
Yeah,
scenario.
I do too.
And because there are certain people when and it has to be voluntary, I think there's certain people who don't want to deal with the person that they were victimized by. And that can cause some other problems with
Trauma.
the victims, some other trauma. So, I think it's case by case, but accountability is the biggest, I think, in their criminal justice world. Accountability is the biggest factor. You have to hold, and that's why I think with the DA coming back, as simple as now he's done some programs and some conferences on retail theft. People say, "Oh yeah, there's no victim." Yeah, there's a victim. The victims are all of us, because when stores are getting victimized and there's $1 million a year of theft from a particular store, well, guess what happens? Those prices go up to accommodate the loss, and we as the taxpayers pay the result of it. But previously, there were cases that were dismissed on just simple shoplifting, but this DA, DA Shigrew, is holding those people accountable, and he's
Those
bringing
cases
those.
not even prosecuted.
Yes, so he's bringing those cases forward to hold those people accountable for their actions, and that's just what people are looking for. That's all, is that these people are held accountable.
That's right. And let's, we're all accountable for our actions.
Yeah.
And you're not doing them any good by letting them get away with it.
No.
And someday the sheriff and I will do a symposium somewhere, and I'll share with you what a lot of these youthful offenders shared with me, and that was how they gamed the system.
Yeah.
Sheriff, I can't thank you one more time. When's that picnic?
September 6th, Saturday, September 6th, 12 to 4. $20 per
Camp
person.
Russell.
Yep. Family event. Come on out to see our jokers with smokers, barbecued ribs, wings, hamburgers, hot dogs, cheeseburgers, sausages, onions, peppers, potato salad, coleslaw. We got the works. Desserts.
Please
Come
support.
on out.
Please support the Sheriff's Picnic. Please, please show your support for the efforts that all of these people today are putting in, to include putting their lives on the line.
Yep.
There. It sounds dramatic, but it's true.
It's true.
Sheriff, I thank you, brother. And
Thank you, Joe.
someday I'll come out and let you buy me a coffee. That's the kind of guy.
Absolutely.
I'm retired now, so
Okay, I'll
you mind
take
if I bring Tupperware if you're serving lunch? I'll just take
right
some
ahead.
home.
Go right ahead.
All right. Sheriff
Thank you,
Thomas
Joe.
Bowler, somebody we're very proud of, and thank you for all you do for all of us and
Thank
your
you.
whole team.
Well, thank you.
God
Likewise.
bless. And remember, today, lift somebody's burden. Don't be part of it. We're all in this together. Let's help each other.
Be
See
kind.
you. Thanks for watching. Bye, Sheriff.
Keep on.